Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. It is the morning after the Steelers' first home Monday Night Football game since 2008. And Mike, as we sit here today, neither of us got what we wanted from last night's game against the Kansas City semi-football Chiefs. You wanted the Steelers to put together a performance against Kansas City where they would be able to, or where they would have built on the success of the three-game winning streak that they brought into that game and therefore go in on a roll from a performance standpoint against the Ravens. I said, I don't care what the score is. Just don't get injured. Neither one of us got what we want. And so here we are pretty much Tuesday of Ravens week with the worst of both worlds.
Yeah, we're getting ready for a best of three against Baltimore in the next 3 weeks, or as I put it on the morning show this morning, three consecutive games against Cleveland if you're an old-school NFL
right.
guy. But there is no role, there is no health. And, Labs, I'm not sure what we have on our hands here. Is this two juggernaut behemoths, as I said on the pregame show yesterday, two trains, one track, or is this two teams that were lucky to beat Kansas City?
Both.
Yeah.
Both.
Welcome to 2012.
And yeah, and in the National Football League, it is both.
Let's stress that they were both lucky to beat Kansas City.
Stinks. Somebody's going to have to win the AFC North, just like every other division.
Good thing these aren't home and homes. It'd be Kansas City.
Kansas City winning the AFC North.
Yeah.
Could be. Except for, you know, but Kansas City does what 1-7 teams do. They did some stupid things at the end, both from on the field playing standpoint, mistakes, et cetera, and then some of those penalties. I mean, the group celebration after a sack that was missed, and then they had the group celebration after a touchdown that wasn't.
That's a nice rule, by the way.
Getting penalized for a play.
For something that didn't happen. Yeah, good job, competition committee. Add another gold star to the way you're legislating this stuff.
Well, I'm
it continues just, to impress me and amaze me.
I'm just glad the regular refs are back. Plus, I don't know. You think we get Ray Anderson might be here tomorrow and see if Ben's faking it? I don't know. That shoulder, he ran off the field. I don't know. Maybe it really didn't hurt. Seriously, though.
I thought you were serious.
No. Ray Anderson showing up and checking it out, who knows? I mean, as you've mentioned many times, the common sense aspect long has departed on the last train out. But the Steelers now, let me ask you this. Let's pretend Ben doesn't play and I don't know anything. Mike Tomlin's news conference here is in about a half an hour. That will be the first, I believe, of several you expect them to say anything? I mean, in terms of Ben, you think it would make a definitive come out and say, Ben's out Sunday, and just to put it out of everybody's head, and then you prepare with your backup. And we're going to talk about who that should be or could be or whatever. But do you think Tomlin makes any kind of definitive pronouncement, or do you think he kind of drags it out all the way to the end of the week?
I would hope he would make an announcement just for the team's sake. As you say, you know, deal with the reality, the here and now. Don't deal in what ifs or what's that word Mike Tomlin always uses to describe something he doesn't want to deal with?
The hypotheticals.
Yes, that's it. it looked fairly serious.
It's right, and they took him to the hospital. Right.
I'm not a doctor. You know, I don't play one on television either.
On the radio sometimes you do.
I did actually last week. I don't think he's playing, so let's just deal with that.
Right. Okay.
It out there.
All right. Now, let's do it two ways. Who are you starting?
Byron Leftwich.
And who he? Oh, okay. And then you believe he will start him as well?
Well, I mean, the guy's been the backup every game. Why would he not be now?
I understand that. So that's who Mike Tomlin starts. You got any?
Silly me. I'm going to assume again. But
okay.
But if he doesn't, then I got a problem with how the 53 or the game day roster was compiled every game before this.
Well, let me just give you this. And I'm not saying that I disagree with the Byron Leftwich choice. But you can look at it this way, thinking Byron Leftwich is a guy who can get me out of a game when I have an injury. Charlie Batch is the guy I want if we have to go a complete game going in that we're not going to have our guy, and maybe more than one game going in if we're not going to have our guy. So that's just – now, I'm not saying –
I would think that's overthinking it, but
hey, man, I know? We got a lot of time to fill
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I mean, these games just continue to remind me what I don't know about the NFL. I'm just – I have no explanation for what took place last night. None.
Me either. It's not the Chiefs team that we watched, that we saw all year, whenever in the snippets of them that we saw, except for some, you know, spurts against the Ravens. But in that game, if I'm not mistaken, they were a turnover machine in that game and ended up losing 9-6. They weren't even sloppy with the football last night, and it was wet.
Not until you made them throw it.
But even
the running thing right off the bat floored me. And, yeah, I know what they were ranked and all that, and I heard that from too many players after the game. We knew that was going to be tough. No, it shouldn't have been. Since Jamaal Charles rushed for 140 yards against Baltimore on October the 7th, he had a combined total of 83 yards in three games against San Diego, Oakland, and Tampa. I don't know if it was in that order, but those were the three teams. If you're the number one defense and you're playing at home and you really are legitimate, you put up the brick wall and you don't let the guy run, and then you make the other guy throw and he can't throw, and then he throws it to you, and then you win 30-3. Yeah. I don't know why that didn't happen.
It seemed to me that the left side of the Steelers' defense was getting handled by the Chiefs.
Me too.
To put names to that, that would be Ziggy Hood Lamar Woodley. Yes, on that side. Now, Woodley made some plays. Ziggy had that one tackle at the line of scrimmage. We're in the backfield.
I saw that. It was a one-yard loss because he celebrated it.
Yeah, right. But, yeah, I agree with you. The Chiefs' ability, and it seemed to me to be pretty much the same play every time.
Me too.
So anyway, but they only scored.
North Catholic doing what North Catholic does. Or, you know, pick your high school team
right.
du jour.
The Steelers offense also had some problems I did not anticipate.
27 yards in the first quarter, Bob. 27 yards.
The passing game just did not. I don't know if there were not guys open.
Didn't look like there was a whole lot.
Then there were also the times when Wallace was behind everyone, and that didn't happen either.
Both quarterbacks managed to overthrow him.
Yes. Leftwich, he gets a very slight, okay, don't let it happen again. Since he was just coming off the bench cold for, like, how many years? you know, those are the things now. If
you want to get technical, it's since January 2nd, 2011, but that was actually the 2010 season.
Yes.
To answer your year thing.
Right.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, yes. So I don't know. I mean, what happened Monday? Seriously, because again, we've been watching the Ravens. Does what happened Monday give you any pause to think that Steelers have any chance to win Sunday night?
Yes, because I have to attribute a lot of what happened Monday to the Steelers completely overlooking the Chiefs. I just don't think they were ready to play. I don't think they were prepared to play. I don't think they played with the urgency that a championship team plays with. Just my view from the press box. Something you said last week kind of stuck with me about these Baltimore games taking on a life of their own, and they're kind of their own entity. And, I certainly think they'll play a lot better than they did against Kansas City, against Baltimore. So, yeah, I think they can win. And I've seen two games in recent history with the quarterback situation muddled. There was a game here in Pittsburgh that Charlie Batch played, and the Steelers were a first down away from running out the clock.
Fourth game of the 2010 season.
Ran the ball three times from the shadow of their own goal line. Seemed at the time that they didn't trust Charlie Batch to throw it. Didn't work. Gave the ball back to Baltimore.
It was a big play in that.
There was a penalty on Chris Kimoatu.
No. Well, there was there that pushed him back. But then on the punt, Kieran Fox did something stupid, and the Ravens ended up with the ball at the Steelers' 40-yard line on the punt. So, yeah. Yes.
And then they stuck it in the end zone.
T.J. Houshmandzadeh.
And there was a game that Dennis Dixon played in Baltimore that the Steelers lost in overtime.
09, I believe.
I told this story on the air this morning, too, but I think it bears repeating that I remember standing in front of the buses before going to the stadium, and Bruce Arians came out and was getting on the bus, and he looked at me and said, "You ready to write about a win tonight?" And I just kind of looked at him like, "No." I'm thinking, I didn't answer him, but I'm thinking in my mind, you know, you're playing Dennis Dixon against the Ravens on the road, right? And he was a determined son of a gun at that point. And I think that's kind of the personality that everybody on both sides will adopt. Nobody's going to care if Ray Lewis is playing or not playing, if Lardarius Webb is playing or not playing, if Haloti Ngata is playing on one leg, if Ryan Clark's not playing, which I think is a huge deal.
Yeah, we didn't even touch that yet.
That will get buried in all the Ben Roethlisberger soap opera stuff. But I think Ryan Clark's having a hell of a year, Bob, and I think they need him too. Everybody on both sides is going to think they're going to win that game Sunday night.
Just to stick with the Ryan Clark thing for a second here, and then you tack on the Troy Polamalu situation, which, you know, to me is he still has not practiced. He has not played since. That was the Philadelphia game, right, when he limped off?
Lost track.
Yeah. It's been so long, 5-6 weeks, whatever it's been.
It was the one he came back in.
Yeah, I really think it was. I'll look it up while we're talking.
Sounds right.
You add the Ryan Clark on top of, you know, the Troy Polamalu situation, and, you're looking at a secondary, a safety core that, is really down to the bare bones. And, the thing is, it's a short week, too. Do you have enough time to, try a three-cornerback – four cornerback nickel?
They've got the different stuff in. We've seen we've seen four corners. We've seen three safeties, three corners. Do what you do. You know, it's not time to get fancy or exotic or reinvent the wheel. Next man up. Get in there. Play ball.
Where the Troy Polamalu thing? He played the opener against Denver. Missed the next 2 weeks. Played a quarter, I think it was, against the Eagles, if that, and has not played since. So that's 5 games he has not practiced or played. I don't know that kind of injury is one that you go from that kind of inactivity to on the field in a game as intense as Steelers-Ravens, Armageddon 1, and
should have come back against the Chiefs then. That wasn't very intense.
It's going to be an interesting week.
Starting in about 15 minutes here.
And we'll get the first word from Steelers coach Mike Tomlin. And then after we get that, later in the week, we will come back and tell you what we think about that and what that information might mean come Sunday night against the Baltimore Ravens. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.